Rise for prosperity. It is our slogan.
Ribebe. Ribebe.
With the prevailing and continuing peace in the northern part of Uganda, more than 1.5 million internally displaced persons, or IDPs, are expected to return to their original land. More than 20 years in camps have weakened the farming capacity of displaced farmers and returnees. The government of Uganda has partnered with the government of Japan and FAO in order to bring support to vulnerable groups, anchor them on their ancestral land, and help them produce their own food. The project started in 2006 in 8 districts. A second current phase is being implemented in 9 more districts. Mr. Percy Masika, the FAO representative in Uganda, describes it.
The areas where this project is currently starts here on Amolata, it is in Dokolo, it is in Lira, it is in Pade, it's in Kitigum, it's in Gulu, and it's in Amur, and it's in Apache. Mm-hmm. If I can explain maybe better,
yes.
Amur, Gulu, and Kitigum, and Pade, those are the Acholi sub-region, the district that formed the Acholi sub-region. Lira, Dokolo, Apache, and Amolata, they form the Lango sub-region. And these are the areas that have been affected very much by the war waged by the LRA. Also in this other part, in the Teso sub-region, where you have Kabiramaido, Amuria, Katakui, they've also suffered quite a lot due to this insurgence, but also due to another double tragedy. They are also suffering from cattle rustling by the Karamojong, coming from this area here to raid cattle in this area. So the project is here because these are people who have been in IDP camps for 22 years. And now they are moving back because of the relative peace after the signature of the hostilities, of the cessation of hostilities agreement. They are moving back to their areas of abode. But unfortunately, these are people who have nothing with them. So they need to be assisted. You have people who were born in the camps, and they lived in the camps until they are 25, 22 years. And these are the people, some of them, no parents. They are now going back. When they were in the camps, the only source of food they knew was the WFP truck. When they see it, they think, yes, that's where food comes from. Yeah. So now as they go back, projects like this one help in teaching these young people skills of how their forefathers, of how their parents used to cope and to fend for themselves and produce food. Mm-hmm. So this project is very, very pertinent, not only in ensuring food security, but also training these people to regain their agricultural productivity, production skills, but also once they produce, it's good for food, it improves food security, but also rice can be marketed and it can generate income for them.
In an effort to bring back food security in insecure households, the government of Uganda, through its national policy on rice development, has focused on rice as a strategic crop in the project, with the objective of increasing rice production and income dissemination of Nerika, the new rice for Africa. In areas where harsh conditions such as a prolonged drought can damage the crops and render the population food insecure, Nerika offers new opportunities, says the national project manager, Emmanuel Iyamulemye Niyibigira.
You will understand that this is also a very new crop in this area. And the beginning, coming here, people could not believe that you can grow rice in a dry land. It's not a miracle. Scientists have done some good work. Adaptability tests have been done. And you will find a very healthy crop. You come here the next 2 months. Hopefully, with the good skies, you have very good harvest.
How high is the ripe rice ready to be harvested?
It's a short crop. So even a child of 10 years will be able to pick the rice. It doesn't grow very tall, because one of the typical characteristics of this crop is that it should not be tall, because otherwise it will fall over. Falling over will mean the crop, when it is ripening, it will fall to the ground and therefore have a very poor harvest. This is Nerikas are types of upland rice, and that means most of these Nerikas, which are bred for upland, if you grow them in the swamps or in an area where there is too much water, they will not survive. So again, that is another aspect of increasing food security, not restricting people who have access to the swamps to have the privilege of growing rice. So this is again FAO thinks this is a good way, because we would be it helps to protect the environment, because the marshes and the swamps are getting depleted. So it's on one hand the environmental aspect, on the other hand it is availing opportunities for everybody to have rice.
In the first 2 years of the project, 1,800 farmers received support for Nerika rice varieties and other rice technologies. 32 facilitators were trained, and 64 farmer field schooled groups established in 8 districts. Rice has brought people together. A majority of them grew up in IDP camps and have become young, productive rural farmers ready to start a new life and learn. International agronomist Ram Chaudhry conceptualized the first phase of the project in 2006.
Earlier project was also on Nerika rice. This is a special kind of upland rice bred at Warda in Ivory Coast. And it doesn't need much of water. Based on the rainfall available, it can grow and produce an excellent crop. So this Nerika rice, in fact, is a very good food crop, as well as this is a cash crop. Uganda is one of the rare country where rice is classed as a cash crop. Elsewhere, it is simply a food crop.
So do you see any difference now? Which way are we going to compared to the initial phases? And how this location was identified?
In the previous phase, in fact, we had 8 districts, but throughout Uganda, from northern, from central, western, and eastern part. So this project was spread throughout the country. But that gave us a lot of experience which area could be more prosperous, more appropriate for such a kind of a technology. And also, people in which area they would be needing this kind of a technology much more than the other part. So based on that, we identified the northern, central northern part of Uganda for the second phase of the project.
Mm-hmm. And how is the population identified? On which basis?
The basic criteria of identification here was, you know, about 1.5 million, more than 1.5 million people living in the camps, IDP camps. Now they were moving out to their
internally displaced.
Yes, so these IDPs are internally displaced persons. They have been living in the camps for almost 20 years. And after 20 years, when the peace accord was almost signed, then they were allowed to move. Government moved them to their native place, and after 20 years they were moving in, and they needed, you know, the basic thing, that is food and also some cash. So that was the reason of identifying these people, that maybe it has a not only double but triple benefit. One is providing them food and cash, and also letting them use this Nerika rice as a source for that, and allowing them to be anchored to their native place.
However, what is the specificity of these groups around in Akali, in the Abongomola district?
Well, they are all small to marginal scale farmers. When I say marginal to small scale farmers, they all have 1 hectare, or even some of them have even less than 1 hectare of the land. So they are all marginal to small scale farmers, not the big ones.
So the benefit of this is to have them work in groups, in groupings, and share.
Yeah.
Is that the concept?
Well, it has in fact several benefits embedded in it. One is they learn together as a group. So we have attached 30 of them to one farmer field school where they have a study plot. On that they experiment their ideas. Even they learn really because rice is very new crop to them. And many of them, they are cultivating rice for the first time. So they don't know about this plant. So they are learning together as a group. And then they have their individual plot where whatever useful they find here, with the technology with which they are convinced that they are going to use on their individual plot.
So that means that whatever the small size of the plot, the productivity looks promising.
Yes, it is indeed. And maybe you would have noticed it here, they are also trying mulching, putting the dry grass on the ground to conserve moisture because it is a rain-fed crop. So they are trying to even conserve. If they find that technology useful, they will be also doing mulching on their individual field. So it's a kind of a learning. So they learn together, all 30 people. And I should have mentioned to you that we also provide them hand tools, like the hose, the sprayer, all little tools which even some of them had not seen before. So they use it as a group on the study plot. And they can also borrow from the farmer field school and use it on their own.
Me wa konyo no chul modong kwe.